This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Hello and welcome everybody to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. It's Tuesday. We're going to enjoy the pleasure of his company of the mayor of the city of Salem and talk a little bit about the city councilors. The race is going to happen next spring, and councilors that will not be returning or not be running and may not even be here for very much longer.
Yeah, you noticed that. It's kind of weird.
And other topics of interest, and of course, the second half of the hour, we'll talk about some of the news items of the day affecting all of us here in the Mid-Valley, and of course, we will unpack as best we can what the mayor just said, right? We'll try to make him not choke on his coffee.
No, he almost spit out his coffee there.
Welcome to the studio, Mayor.
Thank you very much. Enjoy seeing you guys.
This is Chuck Bennett, the Salem mayor, and as long as we're at it, might as well kick off with the big question is, next May, we have elections. For those of you unfamiliar, there's eight councilors. Four of them get elected every other year.
Right.
So in 2020, presidential election year, you're going to have four wards, 1, 3, 5, and 7, up for election. And some people will run for re-election, some people won't. But every 2 years, every even-numbered year, we have to re-elect or re-elect a mayor.
That's right.
What's it going to be, Mayor? Are we going to elect or are we going to re-elect a mayor?
Well, I'm hoping we'll re-elect, okay. But we'll see.
Okay.
And how many is this for you?
This would be, I'm in my second term. It'd be my third term.
What's the term limit? Four?
There is no term limit.
No,
really?
There's no term limits on it. And that's pretty well proved by Brad Nanke, who's announced he's not seeking re-election after 16, 18.
I think he said five. It'll be five full terms, so 20 years.
20 years. Wow.
Yeah. I don't know why he thinks that's enough. I mean, he's got.
Well, that was my reaction when
he's live to be 80.
He told me he was not going to run for re-election is really... I thought you were going to be of service to us here.
Well, we'll have to
again. It's not a paid position, right?
That's correct. None
hard
of these
to retire
are paid.
On it.
Yeah, none of these are paid positions. They're kind of a 40 to 60 hour a week job, but you're not paid for it. It's a real busy.
So it's a good thing you've already had your career. You're retired.
I am retired now.
You're doing,
now
you're
believe
working.
Me, it's a. It takes a great deal of time to do any of these jobs on the city council, and I'm just pleased there's people interested in serving at any given time.
Sure.
Yeah, so, and we'll have Brad on, of course, to talk about his decision and future plans, and maybe next year, because his term will go to the end of 2020.
Right.
So, I mean, we're going to have an election in May, and if necessary, a runoff in November. And then anyone who's elected in May would take the oath of office in January 2021, gets them plenty of time to get up to speed and put their affairs in order so they can have their volunteer hours prepared in their schedule.
Yeah, it really is a scheduling problem.
Yeah.
So thank you, Brad. And we'll have him on near the end of 2020 so he can go on a scorched earth campaign of, telling it like it is.
Like it really is.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah.
Brad has a lot of trouble.
Brad has never been a guy who has hidden how it really is.
I like how you called it the scorched earth tour.
He has been a tremendous city councilor. And before that, he chaired his neighborhood group. He's a guy who's really given a great deal to the city of Salem.
Absolutely.
It's interesting, too. I saw and heard on the news. Actually, I think I heard it on KYKN about how Brad has been one of the conservative members of the city council. And I wonder if he takes issue with that. Because I view Brad as a kind of an independent thinker, a wide libertarian streak, but every pragmatic. He's very pragmatic, a very practical guy. And if practical
means
like
conservative,
not like me.
Uh-huh.
If practical means conservative, then what does that mean for liberals?
Well, it's an interesting thing to try to label councilors as progressive or conservative, libertarian, liberal, whatever. Most of the votes by the city council are unanimous. Very rarely does the council head separate directions because it's a pretty straightforward business. The city does fire, police, water, sewer, library, parks,
streets,
streets, and yeah. It's a pretty straightforward business.
The things
land use planning is the other huge area that we operate in.
Exactly what I was going to say. That sometimes that's where it gets most contentious in people's philosophies in land use.
Mm-hmm.
Land
use even that has not been particular. I think the biggest division occurred over locating Costco out on Kubler was probably the biggest recent decision. But generally, subdivisions that come in front of the city, new apartment complexes, all of that tends to move right on through, even if they're called up for a public hearing by the city council. An awful lot of those decisions are made administratively or by the planning commission, and the council very selectively chooses what it's going to have public hearings on.
So we had more news having to do with the counselors you serve with Sally Cook, and of course her husband unexpectedly passed this summer, which puts any family in a bind. And so feelings go out to the Cook family, because I know there's children involved in the home, correct? And
which seat was she on?
She is in Ward 7, so she would have been up for re-election next May.
But
she
next
let the
May.
City manager know that she thinks that she is going to have to step down presumably before then, and Mayor, perhaps you know more than we do.
Well, what I know is what I've read in the paper at this point. I haven't talked directly with Councilor Cook, but she's indicated she's going to resign in advance of the May primary. So I assume at any time we'll receive a letter saying I will be leaving on a certain date. Sally has two small children. She works full time. As Brent said, she unexpectedly, of course, it's always unexpected when you lose a loved one, lost her husband, and it puts a tremendous burden. Like I said, these are very involved jobs, and it just put too big a burden on her as a single parent to try to do both counsel and be the primary breadwinner as well as raising two young daughters, and really understandable her decision and regretted, I think, by her and by all of us on the council that she's going to be leaving us.
Totally understandable, though.
So have you had any discussions with the city manager in terms of, are you guys going to leave the seat vacant until May election, or are you going to sit somebody for the vacancy period of time?
Well, that'll be up to the city council. I have heard from a number of folks that have expressed interest in being appointed to the city council if the seat does become vacant in advance of the primary election, and that's about it. Until Sally actually resigns and gives a date certain, we'll have to see kind of what the council would like to do with that.
Mm. Okay.
But if you don't, you end up with eight people, which can end up with 4-4 decisions. Again, it's rare, but they do occur. And I think you want to make sure that you have a all hands on deck. So I would expect them to look at seriously at appointing someone to take that office.
Now let's take a look at that process here and some historical precedent right after the break. All right, we're talking to Mayor Chuck Bennett of the City of Salem about the potential vacancy of the Salem City Council in Ward 7. Stick with us. I'm Brent D. Hart with Dave Bourne, and you're listening to 1430 KYKN.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
And welcome back, folks. This is Brent DeHart. We're talking to Mayor Chuck Bennett of the City of Salem. We're talking about the potential for Sally Cook, councillor from Ward 7, potentially stepping down, as she's announced to the city manager, at least. So that's her intention after the passing of her husband, which was unexpected. And what happens when this happens? There are a few options, and sometimes the laws, and depending on the city council or state representative, county commissioner, some of them require a special election with, if it's beyond a certain amount of months or years until the next election, and some do not. And the city council can leave the seat vacant. They can appoint an interim person, or... And of course, I think probably the plan, depending on the timing, would be to try to seat the person that wins the May primary right after the May primary. And that happened to me, actually. I ran for a seat that had been vacated by a city councilor, so it was a vacant seat. Then it was springtime, so it was already, they just left the seat open. And they waited, and it was a contested case. And then I won the primary, and then the week after I won the primary, they said, come on down, we're going to swear you in.
Wow, nice.
And the mayor as well, right?
Yeah, I was appointed to the city council about 12 years ago. Frank Walker, my councilor, resigned, and I came in with a year or so, about 2 years on his term left, and filled the seat and then was elected to serve after that.
So that's going to be a consideration before the council. And at this point, of course, we don't know. Councilor Cook has not yet resigned. So there'll be a discussion with the mayor and the councilors about what to do with that seat. It's kind of a long time to have Ward 7 unrepresented to wait.
It's a very it's one of the South Salem wards, and a lot of active development going on out there. There's a lot of issues out in that ward that come up. So I would just guess they'll be reluctant to have it sit vacant for a year or so if that's what happens, if that's what Sally ends up deciding.
And for those of you who do not memorize your ward maps, Ward 7.
So you're going to be a test later?
You're going downtown. Pretend you're standing at basically Mission Street and Commercial, where that Arco AMPM is, right? And then you drive down Commercial Street, everything to your right, everything west of there. And you drive down Liberty Road. It's everything west of there. So, folks, if you're thinking right now, hey, do I live in Ward 7? Should I run? If you're in Candelaria, if you're in Salem Heights, if you're in Illahee, if you're in Croyson Mountain.
Yeah.
Right? If you're in the Sprague District, virtually all of that area is Ward 7.
That's correct.
So, and of course, you can find online the ward maps because maybe you don't live in 7, but you want to look at one.
Before you apply, you might want to make sure you live in Ward 7.
One, right. Often. 1, 3, and 5 will be up next May, and we'll guide you to get elected, as we had Commissioner Brentano on. A week or so, maybe.
Ah.
And he said, those no people on the bridge, you got to go. Basically, kind of that bluntly, right? And he did. Those people, they just got to go.
Right.
So
got to go.
There'll probably be some contested cases there.
Well, we'll see.
All right. So you said coming up this week, you've got a vote, you believe, coming up on the next council meeting.
Yeah, we have a public hearing scheduled on the... ordinance bill that establishes an operating fee to help fund city services. It would be a new line item on people's utility bills dedicated to broad city services. Mm-hmm. It's about it raises about $7 million. And there has been real interest on the council in just enacting that as a council and meeting some what are anticipated serious shortfalls during the next budget cycle.
I'm curious, have you had any feedback, or is there any language in the ordinance about multifamily? Because I know it's going to be per door, per unit, that the landlord's going to have to absorb or pass along.
Yeah, that's correct.
Is there any language in that ordinance about, because as if I'm a multifamily owner, then I would think, well, your rent is, you know, $850, mm-hmm. and it's going to be $850 plus $6 of this new tax.
Well, the way it'll work is if you have a utility bill, if you're paying your water or sewer as your part of your rental agreement, you'll be charged. And if not, it will be added to the bill of the landlord. Mm-hmm. But it comes at a fairly small number in that case. And I don't recall exactly what the breakdown is, but these are not real high charges. They're like less than $10 a month.
Yeah, I think multifamily is like six and a household eight or something.
Something like that, yeah. Yeah,
most apartments that I've ever lived in, you paid your rent and it covered the water, sewer, garbage, all that was included. So
yeah,
something like that would be tacked onto your rent, I guess.
Yeah. That'll be a factor. I mean, we're talking in the business community, in the investment community, about what do we do with new taxes? Pass them on. And how do we pass them on?
Right.
Yeah.
I guess in the latter stages with the bill, the gross receipts tax bill, the car dealers got permission in the law to list as a line item. So you make your best deal for your Camaro, and then here's your invoice, and here is the tax. Mm-hmm.
The additional
here's
cost.
Here's the 0.57% yeah. The legislature has added on to your car.
And you'll see that on other bills you get, often from the utility companies, the electric utility company. I think there are probably sections that indicate where some taxes have been added. So
it's at least five on there now, right?
Yeah. And this is Monday night. We'll have a public hearing on it. It comes a little later in the agenda, but it will be an opportunity for folks that are concerned about this to come on down and talk to the council. I personally have some issues with enacting any kind of tax or fee like this. I tend to prefer, in this case and in a discussion that's underway about a potential payroll tax, I think both ought to go to the voters myself.
Yeah, any tax should.
That's kind of my theory.
Yeah.
I've always thought if you're going to take somebody's money, you ought to ask for permission.
Yeah, taxation with representation, right?
So while we have the mayor here, and he says, and he's right, a lot of things are pretty perfunctory when it comes to your duties, right?
Yeah.
Although there are definitely budget priorities, and where does the money go, mm-hmm. and so forth. But I'm looking at a page. It's from the agenda of your last meeting.
Yeah.
And at the end, there's a whole page of, hey, this is what's upcoming, so the public can be aware of what's coming up in front of the council, right? So, folks, these are the topics: solid waste collection service rates. In other words, your garbage rates. And they'll be looking at that at the end of next month. The tourism promotion area, which I'm going to ask you about here a second. Tourism promotional area, again, at the end of next month. Floodplain overlay zones, having to do with obviously the floodplain and how they're zoned in what areas.
My eyes just glazed over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, those things are really critical.
They are. They become really important. If you're in a floodplain and we're in the process of adopting new floodplain maps, mm-hmm. and things, it really affects your insurance rates.
Okay, folks, now you got my attention.
That's what I thought. Yeah. That's what I thought.
Yeah, because if the map changes and you weren't in the floodplain before, but now you are, your mortgage company is going to require you buy flood insurance.
Now, see that?
Right?
Okay.
And so you could be swept in and say, hey, we think this is floodplain area now, even though it wasn't before, or vice versa. I actually petitioned one time for a property we owned to be removed from the FEMA floodplain. It goes after 2006, where we all flooded, mm-hmm. and there was no water, no standing water within blocks and blocks and blocks. And I petitioned, and they removed it, and
good
I didn't have to
pay
flood insurance anymore.
Sometimes the little guy can win.
So, you got to be paying attention, and you have to be listening to newsmakers.
Right.
Know all of this stuff, right?
And, yeah.
So let's talk about the tourism promotion area, because we have Salem, Travel Salem.
Travel Salem, yeah.
As our designated tourism promotion, and they do great work to bring in, help partner with some with the Conference Center, of course, and Wallace Marine and the Athletics, and do the marketing and advertising on behalf of the city to bring people to the area.
Exactly.
So is there a question about what area they're actually representing?
Not that I'm aware of. There's they come in with an annual report explaining what they've been doing. We get a real update on the work being done by Travel Salem. And we found in the past, and I'm sure we will see in the future, that the amount of money the city invests in this, and this comes from hotel motel taxes. So if most of us are probably not using the hotel motels here in town, but we have family who comes to town or visitors who come to town, they have just over 9% added on to their hotel bill as a hotel motel tax. This is very common in almost all communities. Ours is fairly small. It's used primarily for tourism promotion, as well as we use the funds for all the things that kind of go on in town. You know, if there's a concert or if there's a down at the park, it's used for park maintenance, trying to keep the entryways to the city inviting.
Some of the historic things that are tourist attractions.
And then the historic houses and buildings that the city owns and is operated often by a Friends of or some other kind of nonprofit group. But we help them out through this fund as well. So it's the Art Association, the Bush House, Deepwood House. We give funds to the Hallie Ford Museum, which is the art museum here in town, the Heritage Center, which is the old Thomas K. Woolen Mill. Those are the kinds of things that get a lot of support. But there are smaller events that occur as well. You may have a car show down at the park where there are a lot of old cars come in. They'll get a small stipend to assist them with that. So it goes for... Gosh, there must be 20 or 30 events that occur most commonly during the summer that get support from these funds to try to help them leverage that into a program that really makes, I think, makes the community a lot of fun and real enjoyable. And we try to keep it as varied as possible so there's as many things as folks are interested in, we hope, that are being supported. And one of the things we do each year is have each of these organizations come in and meet with we have a commission that deals with this this particular fund, and they report how many people attend and was the event a success, and then new events will come in and ask for assistance as well. It's a great fund for kind of that kind of activity that goes on in town that I think a lot of us enjoy. Movies in the park. I'm just trying to think of all the
Friends
stuff
of Deepwood Estate, Friends of Bush Barn, Friends of Elsinore Theater, all of those things that
and most of those events would bring people in from outside region.
The art
fair. And it also goes to help us attract athletic events. We have become a major venue for softball and baseball tournaments, and that fund assists Travel Salem, and we have staff that also works on this at City Hall, bringing those groups in, and they're a tremendous fundraiser for the city.
Well, I think we should do some turf fields over there near State in Hawthorne, where the soccer fields and there's two baseball fields that were developed there when Mayor Taylor was the mayor. And then we turf those, see, so it's all weather. We could really hold some tournaments here. Affectionately known as TOT funds, Transit Occupancy Tax. It sounds like something the military would make up. You know, these are the TOT funds, and we mean hotel and motel taxes. All right, Mayor, we got to let you go unless you want to stay, but we do have to take a break. This is Mayor. We're talking.
Got a couple other things I'd like to visit with you.
Well, let's stay. We're going to hang out with Mayor Chuck Bennett here on Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem. Brent, you have a perplexed look on your face. What's going on?
I'm just in deep contemplation, as always, so I can think of something erudite to contribute to the conversation.
Wow, that was deep.
Well, I got a couple of erudite things. Now, a couple of things, folks, I'm just going to kind of alert them to. During my State of the City this past year, I really proposed we get involved in a resilience program that'll last for several years. And sort of the kickoff of it is really underway. In sort of celebrating September as National Preparedness Month.
Awesome.
And what we're doing is really aggressively encouraging people to have about 2 weeks' worth of water and food at their homes. We know if there's ever a major problem here in the city, such as an earthquake or some other major event, that cuts folks off from a whole batch of services they're used to doing, including the grocery store, or affects our water lines. We are really encouraging people to begin establishing those kinds of sort of shelter-in-place stockpiles, because what we've discovered in looking at this very closely is if you are not prepared, you are going to be in trouble. And we saw that, and it really demonstrated itself last year when the city's water supply had cyanotoxins in it. One of the real surprising things was people really had not been keeping several gallons of water around the house available for that period, just drinking water available. So we're really strongly encouraging people to take on that issue and begin preparing themselves, because if a major event does occur, you're really going to be on your own for a while. We encourage people to be prepared for about 2 weeks for if it was a really catastrophic event. So
you just give me an idea.
That's underway.
And Denise Quinn actually had, on Wednesdays with Denise, had the city's emergency preparedness person. Yeah. I wasn't a guest last week.
Yeah.
He was praising you.
He's the man.
Yeah, he was praising you for sure about this initiative that you're talking about.
Well, it's a great initiative, and he is doing a fabulous job. Yeah. We're really working a lot with kids at school to kind of take home the information to mom and dad. But it's an opportunity to get ready to take care of yourself, and I hope folks will take that real seriously. Another issue that's coming up, we'll be holding a joint meeting with the Marion County and Linn County commissioners. They're now looking at running a sewer line essentially up the canyon.
What?
To Detroit, Detroit-Idana area, to begin dealing with sewage that is up there. There's a lot of folks living up there these days and have been for a number of years. And they have, in Mill City and a couple of the other communities, some sewage treatment, but they really need to upgrade it. And I know that the county commissioners have been working with the federal delegation to begin looking for funding for this project. We're going to have a meeting with them, primarily because, again, our water supply runs right through the middle of all of this, and we need to make sure that that water supply is protected from human waste as well. It's not all algae.
Yeah.
There are other issues, and I know they want to talk to us about some level of city participation, just because our water supply is part of the issue up there. So we'll be meeting with them, kind of getting an update on what's going on. I hope at some point really evaluating the level of threat to the water supply, if there is one. And that's part of what we'll be discussing with them, is understanding really well, I think, what the situation is in the canyon. What are most, a lot of the homes up, I know I have a house up on the river. It's septic, it's a septic system. It's well away from the river and it's very carefully done, but there's others up along. I know there are some up on the North Fork and others that are challenged. These have become old systems, so we need to make sure that things are going well.
There was an article in the Statesman just last week about Mill City. Over time, coming up, they're going to get $29 million from different sources of influxes for, you know, for schools to be upgraded, infrastructure, like you said, with sewer and sewage treatment and so forth. So Mill City, we would expect more people are going to live in that canyon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they've got a major development, actually. Major. I mean, it's a fairly substantial development occurring in Mill City. I was up there this past weekend to join them in celebrating the 100th anniversary of the railroad bridge and the Tiger Grant they received through the cooperation with the federal delegation as well as Lynn and Marion County. They have reopened their railroad bridge, which is part of their walking area through Mill City. Very exciting event. And then the larger plans for what's going on up there in terms of future development in their downtown area, their commercial area, as well as the housing that's going on. It's pretty exciting. I spent time with the mayor and others that have been working on this project, and it's pretty neat. A big community turnout to celebrate that.
All right, so you slipped in an acronym there. A Tiger Grant stands for what? It's a federal plan.
It's a federal grant.
Typically, it has to do with transportation, so I'm guessing the T is transportation.
I can't remember. It is a transportation grant. I can't remember what it all stands for. We're always applying for Tiger grants as well. I probably ought to know what that stands for. Yeah, but it sounds really, really, really exciting.
Sounds expensive, too.
And then in March, the council adopted an enhancement to our utility rate relief program, and this is for very low income persons who are really challenged by the cost of water and sewer in particular. And we're offering a program that assists those folks that are challenged in meeting that. And if people think they might qualify for assistance in that area, we coordinate that with the Mid-Willamette Valley Community Action Agency, and they should make contact. It's often low-income seniors or other low-income families that really need some help. That $11-$12 a month assistance can make a real difference. So I really want to encourage people to take advantage of that program. We expect to add at about 200 additional people. We already have just over 300 residences that have qualified, and we'll be offering rate relief on about another 200 homes. And people apply through the Community Action Agency to be eligible for the program.
All right, so I have my own answer here. You ready?
He looked it up.
Tiger Grant.
Got it.
Transportation, we got that right. Investment, generating economic recovery.
Nice.
Transportation investment, generating economic recovery. It's one of the tools we are hoping that might be qualified for in the McGillcrest Urban Renewal Area.
Exactly.
To try to finish that corridor and bring that up so it can be more attractive to further redevelopment.
Yeah, and that continues to be an area that is very high on our list for redevelopment. There's a lot of empty land out off McGillcrest, and that has gotten some attention. It's been a slow process, and we keep trying to pull together the funding to complete that project.
Well, it was nice to see McGillcrest connected to Madrona last year
yeah,
or so,
yeah,
as they punched that through. But there's a realigning of 22nd out there, and there's a lot of potential for redevelopment out there, so that urban renewal area. And frankly, Mayor, we've had so much success at Mill Creek.
Yeah,
with
well,
new
we're
development.
We're going to need this new industrial area.
We're running out of industrial land to create
exactly.
New jobs.
Wow. Exactly. And we're all waiting to find out who's going to move into the Panasonic building, and we'll be, I'm sure, announcing
you don't know?
That. We'll be announcing that in some at some point along the way. But I think folks will be real excited about what's going on out there,
folks. That's Mayor speak. I know, but I can't tell you.
case you seen his face
didn't
too.
Catch that. Just like, well,
he's nodding his head. Yeah, I kind of know, but I can't tell you.
An economic development.
I'm real excited.
So. Well, good, good. Well, we'll be excited to have it come to productive use, be on the tax rolls, and create jobs. If it does those three things, we're going to, it's
we're
a win.
All of the above.
We're all
of
for
the
it.
Above,
all
I
for
think,
it.
Will be the part of the announcement.
Nice.
And the economic development component is good, and it comes with a lot of non-disclosure agreements. So it's the mayor, it's SEDCOR, anybody who's involved really can't disclose until the deal is done. We do have to take one last break. You're listening to Newsmakers with Brent and Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem, you're listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center.
And a happy one-year anniversary to the Salem Reporter.
Absolutely.
Publication, online publication. It covers investigative journalism for the Salem area and the Capitol.
Commonly referred to as In-Depth.
In-Depth. Salem Reporter. Yeah. So congratulations on the 1 year. I'm a subscriber. It's a partner of KYKN for their news feed. Right?
Funny. And yeah, me too. Funny.
We've had the publisher, Les Zeitz, has been on the show. And
we should have him back.
A couple of weeks ago, we had one of his reporters on the show talking about her reporting on the school districts and the school boards. And good stuff, and a source of a lot of topics of conversation for us here at Newsmakers. So way to go, Salem Reporter. Keep it up and grow.
Yes.
There's more to come.
Yeah, they have really, I think everybody's game has been upped. I think coverage in the Statesman has improved. Competition really breeds, particularly, in any area, but in newspapering, it really makes a huge difference. If there's somebody else covering the same thing, nobody likes to be beat. And I think the result has been really much better and more interesting and more in-depth reporting to have them here in town.
Absolutely.
Well, Mayor, thanks for staying with us. We're talking to Chuck Bennett. He's two-time elected now mayor of Salem. And one of the things we preach here is community involvement and to know more about the community and prepare yourself to serve in the community and, of course, to replace the certain city council members that we may not favor. And but really, some of the best positions are on the budget committee in terms of knowing what's going on and learning and the planning commission.
Yeah, we in fact last night we celebrated volunteers here in the city. We have each year a big event where a number of awards are given for volunteer effort as well as community activism and things that people do. It was really a fun event. We had the Uhuru Youth Choir, which is made up of young people who are refugees in this community. We have a fairly substantial refugee community in Salem, and these were all young people who had, and as I listened to them, they each told where they were from Kenya, Tanzania, Mozambique. It was, and a number of them had been born in refugee camps. These are little kids, and they did just some great singing. It was a real hit with the and they also received an award for the work they've been doing and for just pulling that together. We also celebrated our youth baseball team that went to the World Series.
Oh, awesome.
And just a whole variety of others. In fact, the volunteer opportunities at the city are so big. We involve about 9,000 volunteers.
Wow.
We're talking about volunteer hours in the tens of thousands of hours are donated to the city in a whole range of capacities. And we have celebrated this for years. But it really allows us to provide the level of service we do. They really take the place. If we tried to do everything they're doing, we'd have to add another 150 city employees to do it. And a lot of these jobs are smaller. They require you know, a level of attention. You can do as many hours as you'd like. There are huge opportunities. Center 50 Plus is mm-hmm. always looking for volunteers. The Parks Department is always looking for volunteers. One of the boards and commissions, right now I received a letter from a young man who's been part of our planning commission, but his time has resulted in him needing to resign. We have an opening on the planning commission. So if you're interested in land use planning, you do or don't like the way the city is developing, there's an opening there. You can contact my office down at City Hall and get an application, or you can apply online for any of these various boards and commissions. I think both you and I have done this. I've been on the, we talked about the tourism board. I've been on that. I was on the planning commission, spent years on the budget committee. I have found it tremendously rewarding to be involved in these various activities in the community. And I could tell we had the auditorium full at Laux last night of people who have volunteered or were there to celebrate people who have volunteered or been recognized for their contribution to the community. So it's a great opportunity, and it's one that I hope folks won't pass on. These are a great way to give back to the community.
Yeah, indeed. I think I was appointed to the Ethics Commission. I know I served some time on CATSE, which is an odd acronym for the Traffic Advisory Commission, and more time on the Parks and Recreation Commission.
Yeah. These are just great boards.
And it's an opportunity to recognize people, to encourage people, but also maybe to divert some harebrained ideas as well.
Well, right? Or bring a harebrained, what you think might be a harebrained idea to the fore, and actually have it become part of the city's program.
Sure.
And the Planning Commission is huge, and you have to be willing, if you don't know anything about land use, you have to be willing to learn.
You do.
If you know nothing about it, don't come with an axe to grind.
No.
Don't come with an agenda. You know, come to learn, and because you're so subject to state laws.
Yeah, it's surprising how land use planning is so governed by law, and where you're sort of like, well, why would you do that in my neighborhood? Well, because the law says you have to. And people are always surprised, I think, when they get on the Planning Commission to discover really how prescribed their activities are. But you also get to make some really important decisions in terms of where development's going to be in the community, what kind of development, how the traffic will be affected. It's really a fascinating area,
especially when they're asking, the applicant is asking for something that that requires conditions, and
yep.
So then they're setting the conditions, or staff is recommending conditions, say, well, yes, we'll give you that increased lot size or a smaller setback requirement or a site easement or all of these things in exchange for, and that's where it becomes a little bit more of a
gets
negotiation.
Really, yeah.
All right. One last thing before we go. Mayor, you're encouraging everybody to come down on Monday, because Monday is a city council meeting at the City Hall, 6 o'clock, to put their word in about the new fee.
They're two cents worth in on that
$8
fee.
Yeah. Nice.
All right. That's this Monday. So hopefully we'll remember to remind you later in the week. Thanks for being here on Newsmakers. Want to thank the mayor for the whole hour. We usually have him for about half of it.
Yeah.
And we'll talk again on Thursday. Thanks for joining us. This is Brent D. Hart with Dave Bourne, and you're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN, Salem's Listening.
And I'll see you tomorrow.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.